So how have you been?
I've been well. I'm actually doing really well. My wife and I are expecting our second child any day.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
We're on call.
Okay, well, you just hang up. Don't okay. Mind me.
All right.
Run.
Hopefully the next 15 minutes will be all right.
I hope so as well. So we'll go right to it. What have you been up to musically then since this has been such an interesting part of your life again?
Well, I'm pretty much immersed lately in the studio that was founded by Mark Sandman and kind of inherited by Billy Conway, myself, and Andrew Mazzoni. High and Dry
mm-hmm.
is the name. It's a place where Mark lived and where Morphine recorded and rehearsed. And in the heart of Cambridge, Massachusetts, a little five-story loft overlooking Boston and the surrounding area. And we've just been kind of trying to maintain as best we can, making music that we care about and offering a place for, kind of a crossroads for anyone who happens to be in the area.
Yeah, you certainly, your music is certainly a crossroads, I tend to believe, between not just, I hate to put labels and things on music, but it seems to blend a lot of different sounds together and a lot of fantastic stories that have a start, a middle, and an end, The songs of well, geez, all the bands that I can relate to that are associated with you, especially Morphine, and actually I saw Orchestra Morphine a couple times, and the Twinemen. So all those three bands, it's just amazing how all the songs just I don't know. They seem to take me to a. I can see the pictures, and there's a book. I'm turning the pages. It opens my mind, I guess, is what's happening.
Well, it's interesting. It's always a thrill to hear, anyone's reaction to your music that happens to hear it, because for the most part we create it, we send it out to the world, but each listener has their own personal relationship with music, and it's always fun to know that it's making its way out there and affecting people and getting people to imagine and to be able to. The art of listening to music seems to be dying in some ways. So the art of listening in general, everyone is so willing and so insistent on making their points that the art of listening is something that's not talked about very often. And I always credit anyone who has time to listen and start beyond just hearing. They start to hear what's going on inside of what they're listening to, and that's the relationship that musicians are, feel the most at home with, I think, is knowing that's who you're writing for. You're writing for that ear,
I tend to get it. Majority of the songs, I can't say every single song by any artist is a love of mine, but with Morphine and Twinemen, I get it. It hits me in all the right places, so to speak. And live, I have to say, is quite a treat. Twinemen, I'll just talk of Twinemen. I saw you recently in, I guess within a year now. So that's not as recent as my mind should trick me to believe it is. But
yeah, I know.
Gosh. But it was up in, I believe, Northampton, Mass., one of the... one of the old places up there. Iron Horse, one of the Iron Horses, I believe, one of their venues.
Yeah.
Not Calvin, but one of those. And it was, it's the best place to see a band like Twinemen. It's an intimate gathering. You really are huddled together, and the music kind of surrounds you and gives you a big, hug. You're almost hugged with the sound.
It
makes you feel comfy.
Living room.
Yeah, right. A nice comfy living room you want to be in.
Precisely. I mean, I think we all can gravitate to those places in the house that you feel at home. And I think if you think of your audience, you think of an event as just kind of an extension of that. It makes for a really comfortable place. I'm always amazed at how similar we all are. And music is a real thread that kind of brings people together in ways that that conversation can't do it. You know, you look around and when a crowd of people are enjoying the same thing happening at once, there's just this unified understanding relationship that you know you just cannot access any other way. You know,
right.
You couldn't conference call 100 people.
Right.
Have the same feeling and same communication, but with music that happens.
Yeah, certainly it's very rare you get 10 people, never mind 100, to agree on any one thing.
Or just to experience it, just the level of experiencing it at the same time. Whether you're not, you're there to share, and it's a very definite period of time. Music, the beginning and end, and when it's over, we all walk away with our memories mostly, unless you had your DVD recorder tucked inside your baseball cap.
Which I think a lot of people try to get away with these days. I can find videos just about anywhere that most people shouldn't be seeing. It's not nice.
Take that attitude, but on the other hand, when you're an independent band, if anyone cares enough to bootleg your stuff and push it out there enough so that somebody else hears about it, you might as well
let them, you might as well take what you can get.
Up to the point where music is for free anyway. So as an artist, you can sit there and say, no, I want my 99 cents.
Yeah.
Or I want you to hear this, you know.
Yep.
And it's getting harder to even expect to get paid because you're so used to being the last one, really, to get anything from it. That there has to be a higher motivation. There has to be something greater that compels us all to do it because... certainly not making money at it.
So it's got to be the music, huh?
Well, that's all that's left.
Yeah. My co-host Mustafa is with me, and we have shared a couple of, Morphine, Orchestra Morphine, and I don't think he's seen Twineman live, but he'd like to ask you a question or two. Hi, Danny.
All right.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I've been kind of lurking in the...
Lurking
in
your,
the shadows.
I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Mustafa.
Mustafa.
We actually saw you out on the Cape in a pretty open space venue when you guys were Movable Bubble.
Right.
Yeah,
I recall.
Mm-hmm. And
Barnstable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about a shared experience and just kind of getting it so that a lot of people are listening. And one of the things that strikes me as a memory from that concert was all the balls. Do you remember all the beach balls? Because that was just bizarre.
Yeah,
it was like
a common thing. Yeah, in the festival land to have keep the audience from getting too bored. They got to have something to do. You know? And always that's another aspect of interacting with whoever happens to be performing. You know, if you can get your ball up on stage, then. And the player who's up there kicks it back at you, then that's definite high points, high marks for audience participation.
I mean, I grew up on a stage presence like Joey Ramone, so, that's 180 degrees from what you're talking about. What other things do you do to facilitate that interaction?
I don't know. I just think, for the most part, you just have to look out to the crowd and just appreciate the fact that people have taken their time out of their day or, spent their hard-earned money to come see you play. And as hard as it is for you to get your butt across any given length of road or terrain, it's also a pretty large commitment for someone to take an interest in what you're doing. So, I mean, that automatically gets my respect, I think, for someone who comes to see a show.
And I think that's coming across loud and clear in this interview. I mean, you're saying that you don't mind tapers. You almost encourage tapers. You guys aren't doing it for the love of money. You're doing it for the love of music. So, I mean, that's admirable because it's really, the more I learn about the music industry, there's really a dichotomy in the fact that there's either people out there that are just looking to pinch out every single penny out of the corporate machine that has become music, and then there's people that are actually trying to make good music.
And you would hope that someday the two would coalesce in order to give people who are making the good music a little bit of the payback for their hard work. You need to be diligent. I think any young act out there, any young person who's in music needs to keep their eyes open in terms of, what their opportunities are and what they're signing away. And I think that's always going to be the balance,
Do you have a musician that you cite as like a business model, like Frank Zappa, kind of stayed away from the mainstream?
Zappa is amazing, of course. Zappa defies all, you know, all kind of, you know, models entirely. And one can only just drop jaw in awe of Frank and all that he represents.
Right.
I was just looking at a clip of him on the 1963 on the Steve Allen show where he gets on. He's a young man in his 20s and he's introduced as a composer and he performs a piece with an orchestra on two bicycles. Yeah.
You gotta love it.
You gotta love it.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Credit Steve Allen who was willing to
put that out there.
Well, also just credit the not just put it out as an oddity, but give it, you know, full-on credit for being innovative and pushing the limits of what we know as anything, which was the point that he was made in the show. In 1963, it makes you think, wow.
Wow.
Well, that is really forward-looking.
Yeah, that is true innovation. Future Man from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
Yeah.
You know, now he is, he is out there.
Out of the curve for many years.
Yeah, he was a great inspiration of innovation. And we just got off the phone with Mars Williams.
Right.
I think you and I kind of briefly went back and forth about that. And I got to say, it was a fantastic interview. And I brought you up as far as just to see if he, you know, what he knew about you. And he was very interested to get together with you.
And do something. It'd be fun because we, for the most part, we're here in Cambridge and handle a lot of local stuff. But for the most part, we don't have real big management. We don't have a lot of connections out there. So it's always fun to work with somebody from outside of our circle. We
and
had Dave Alvin in here just recently recording.
Who was that?
Dave Alvin.
Oh yeah, right.
Nice. Blasters and X. He was
X, yeah.
Up here recording the Bill Morrissey record that Billy Conway is producing.
Oh, nice. Good to see Billy still getting going, staying busy.
He's right to my left here.
Oh, there he is. I chatted with him once at the Webster in Hartford, just real briefly.
Yep.
Nice guy. We'll have to talk about that. He wanted to exchange phone numbers. He definitely wanted me to give you his phone number. And
well, maybe we could do that through the
absolutely.
Email contact.
Yeah, we're not going to do that here, but absolutely, that he wanted to see if what you're up to, what Twine Men are up to.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier to William, that we're expecting a child like any day now.
Yeah.
So we're going to be getting ready for that. But we're going to be playing in Vermont at the early part of April. Burlington, we're working on a new record, and so things are moving ahead. We'll probably have something out within, I'd say, spring.
Spring, sometime late spring?
Yeah.
May?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say.
Back when you're getting a full night's sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. It might be a year from now.
Yeah. Never. Come on.
Check in with me.
A new album, and... do you have any plans for the summer as far as a tour?
Not yet. Not as of yet. You know, we're basically, we haven't really entertained the thought. We've been working a lot in the studio and just trying to take care of a lot of stuff that's been going on at home.
Yeah, a lot of home stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, if something were to come up, at this point, we're open to anything. We just haven't really, we don't, like I said, the management thing has been kind of a thing that's eluded us. I mean, we have a lot of stuff coming out of the studio that keeps us pretty occupied.
Well, I got to say, it started with, in my email, it started with my car ride into work this morning, and I just heard the blend somehow of Liquid Soul and Twine Men together. And I brought that same fact up with Mars, and he said, you know, pretty much the same thing as you did, make it happen. So so there's the management. That's it.
Well,
that's it, man.
That's it.
There it is.
Hates it, right?
Yeah.
An interested party who can draw the two connections.
And, you know, two great tastes that taste great together. and I would just be thrilled to see something happen. But, yeah, we'll take care of that, the right way. And, you know, I know that you're probably looking for a few extra moments to yourself on St. Patrick's Day, so we're going to, you know, we're going to thank you for your time.
Yeah, we're setting up for a live recording here tomorrow night with Jeremy Lyons and the Delta Billy Boys
nice.
In New Orleans.
All right.
It's in Massachusetts.
Mm.
And we're doing an invitation only up here at High and Dry, $20. Tickets are still available. And, go to highanddry.com for more information.
All right, that sounds fantastic.
We'll throw that on in the air.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got
minus the dollars tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, we'll throw that out there to see what people are up to and get them out there.
Yeah, if there's any, if you're mostly Connecticut based, but never know, it's not that far away.
Oh, that's no, right. No, yeah, no, I.
We've made the drive.
We've made the drive, and our folks here, they'll make the drive. Oh yeah, we went to see Motorhead, far, far away from here. Yeah,
Eclectica.
Yeah, so I want to definitely thank you for your time, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds great. Well, thanks. I appreciate your interest, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks Dan.
Bye.
Bye now.